cars when she says they saw three masked men at Wachter's car. Joy telling ABC News one of the men stood up.
I had a ski mask on, so we were just suddenly like, oh no, you know, this is bad.
Immediately, she says there was a pop, a gunshot, and as Wachter collapsed into her arms, she could feel his blood pouring out. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The LAPD is searching for the killers. Gymnast Simone Biles taking a massive lead at the U.S. Championships last night. Her 27-year-old is eyeing a third trip to the Olympics as she put herself in a position to win the ninth national gymnastics title. She's ended the night with the highest all-around score seen in the last 2 years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And it's like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Estuary. Lunacinski says the designation is a major accomplishment for the region's conservationists.
That conservation community is pretty special and robust in the area. To have a research reserve like this being placed in an existing conservation community is really just going to take us all to the next level.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 70 degrees, a bit breezy. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 48. Chance of a shower on your Sunday, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 78. Showers and storms are likely Sunday night. It will be windy. Monday, more showers and storms.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We're here every week talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward, and I am excited and frankly just thrilled and honored to have Marcellia Nicholson here with us, who was recently, I believe, reelected, serving a second term as the chairperson of the Milwaukee County Council. And the county structure statewide plays a very, very significant role in the state of Wisconsin and whether we go forwards or backwards. And so I thought, as we're sitting out here, I'm sitting here and looking at a beautiful Waukesha day, I thought it would really be a good statewide perspective on what the biggest county in the state has to say, and how you, as a young future leader, current leader, see the state, and, you know, what is the state of our state, you know. And it's our birthday, right? May 29th, 1848, we became the 30th state of the Union, and we came in as a free state, and we're going to stay a free state.
That's so right. And if my history serves me well, I think we were one of the first to outlaw or fight against the fugitive or fight with the fugitive slave law, if I recall correctly.
That's right. Wisconsin has a long, progressive history of trying to fight for what's right, for equal rights and for justice. It's a bumpy road, but we have gone forward, and we're going to keep going forward. So as you sit here, 8 years on city councils, 4 years as the chairperson of the largest county in the state, how do you see Milwaukee County's role statewide in the county association?
Well, thanks so much, Mark, for having me. Thank you so much to the listeners for tuning in. And I know you've done a lot more work at the city, so I do have to correct you. It's the County Board of Supervisors. I want to make sure that folks know the difference with jurisdiction and then with title. And really, I'm actually happy to do it, because I think my role as a young leader here is also making sure our constituents and folks across the state understand the important role that we do play. Where, you know, at the city, you deal with, you know, business licensing, fire, police, and some social services. At the county board, at the county level, we deal with more health and human services, aging, disability, parks, culture, the things that really touch people and make sure that they can thrive in their communities. And us being the largest county in the state, we send more money to the state than any other local government. And aside from the funds that we send, we consider ourselves the economic engine of the state. We also bring the ideas to the state, and we tend to lead on things even nationally. Some of the things we've led on and some of the things I'm proud to have spearheaded, declaring racism a public health crisis and fighting to achieve racial equity. We're the first county in the nation to do that work. ARPA, we received federal funds, and I created the ARPA task force. We've been named as one of the top cities in the nation for how we allocated those funds to the services that people cared about. And as it relates to the work that we do across the state, one role I have is with the Wisconsin Counties Association. And that's a membership and a dues-paying organization made up of not 72, but 71 counties. Madison County actually withdrew their membership because they felt like at the time, WCA, as we call it, was leaning more rural, more conservative, and they felt like their views weren't reflected within the work that organization was doing. But when I became chairperson in 2020, instead of withdrawing membership, I saw it as an opportunity to bring a new voice, new perspective, to build relationships and figure out, you know, how can we get on one page and how can we leverage not necessarily what is different, but what is similar across Wisconsin counties. And while equity in Milwaukee looks very much like people of color, because we are the county that has more people of color, equity looks different across the state. You have Native populations, you have people who are aging out of the workforce, you have gender equity that is an issue, even religion has played a role in how different counties are functioning. And through some statewide advocacy, I touched almost every county. Introduced myself, sort of shared what we were working on in Milwaukee County, and I'm proud to say we've made some friends and we've been able to, drive some of our work statewide. Now, it's not perfect. We do have a lot of harm to undo, but I'm proud of what we have been able to achieve. And in fact, the Wisconsin Counties Association, for the first time, put in their platform that equity is a statewide issue. And that they're going to be working with Milwaukee County and with the state legislature to make sure that we can also lobby for the things that we need that are unique to our county.
Sounds like pretty exciting stuff. and congratulations on developing community across the state.
Yes.
In your capacity as the chairperson of the county board of supervisors, did I get that right?
Yes, perfect.
The future of the state is young people.
Yes.
How do you see the county, Wisconsin County Association, statewide working with youth? What kind of projects are on the table?
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh my gosh, our youth are so important. Actually, I'm a former teacher. So prior to elected office, I was a fourth grade teacher with Milwaukee Public Schools. And so I really had a fundamental understanding of how important our youth are to basically the future sustainability of our city, county, state. And when I became chairperson of the Milwaukee County Board, I actually worked with the county executive, David Crowley, who was a former youth commissioner, but that youth commission had been disbanded and it hadn't been operating for nearly a decade and a half. And so one of our first joint projects was to reestablish that youth commission. And because I'm a worker bee, I, rolled up my sleeves and actually did a lot of work with that youth commission to transition them in, get them to understand the legislative process. And I took them up to the state capitol where they got to meet Governor Tony Evers, hear more about different fields of work within the government structure. And I also introduced them to the Wisconsin Counties Association, where, folks were just really excited to see young people in the room and asked me if I would be willing to do some sort of workshop or session, some sort of toolkit to help them establish youth commissions in their community. So in September, I'm going up to La Crosse and I'm putting on a workshop at our annual conference to help other communities across the state of Wisconsin establish youth commissions. Ours has been a resounding success. We have 18 districts, so one youth per district. They each get paid $12.50 an hour. They participate in meetings. They help recommend policies. And we know that, I vote on policies every month. But unless we have our youth at the table, we really don't understand how these policies impact them and how this will, basically impact their futures moving forward. So having their voice at the table, seeing them at our budget hearings, advocating for funds for issues they care about. Seeing this as a resume builder, our first class just went off to college and they use that on their resumes. And it's just incredible to see them sort of transition into wanting to work in career pathways that will impact people in the service, in the public service area. In fact, Lauren, who's one of our co-chairs, she says she wants to become the first Black U.S. Senator in the state of Wisconsin. And before joining the Youth Commission, she didn't have that dream. So it's incredible to see and be a part of that. And I'm excited to help other communities establish those as well.
As you look out across the state, working with other counties, how can the county association become a driving economic force?
Yeah. Well, I think the importance of the county association, or I should say the unique position they have, is that they can convene county supervisors, county executives, county administrators from all across the county to, you know, again, develop a shared platform, things that we're willing to work on together and can advance at the state level with our state legislature and governor. And also, you know, trickle down to the lower level where we can impact policy in our local communities. I think having that vehicle to do that work is huge. Because we can't do much if we're not doing it together. There's like a proverb, right? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I've seen that play out in recent shared revenue deals where they played a part. And, you know, while I'm going to preface by saying Milwaukee still got, you know, shorter end of the stick on that deal, we were able to, you know, talk about some of the commonalities we share across counties. Whether it's, you know, lack of funding and transportation, you know, poor infrastructure, the inability to, you know, fund services or develop our workforces, being able to have those conversations in a container where multiple people are stakeholders and decision makers really does allow us to solve big problems in intentional ways.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Milwaukee County Board of Supervisor Chairperson Marcellia Nicholson. And we're talking about how the county, and particularly Milwaukee County, can help move the state forward. If you're going to, you know, in one or two items, how would you describe what's holding us back?
I think one thing that's holding us back is politics. We're living in a very politically divisive time, and you know, unfortunately, Milwaukee has been a subject of some of those politics.
This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Mark Thompson. Here with Marcellia Nicholson, more to come.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM Civic Media. We are here in the heart of the purple state. We are Waukesha. I'm delighted and honored to have Chairwoman Marcellia Nicholson, the chairperson of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, with us, and we're talking about what is holding us back statewide? And Chairwoman Nicholson said politics and our divisiveness. So, you know, we know that shared revenue, we know that the state has really bled communities dry, Milwaukee more than others. In a year where there was surpluses, we had counties and municipalities all over the state trying to figure out why the money wasn't coming back to the communities where they're taxed from. So what's your take on that issue, the politics and shared revenue, and what do we do to get over it?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, party politics has played, I think, a critical role in what's starving Milwaukee. I mean, it's no, you know, question that we're a strong, you know, Democratic city. We tend to, you know, decide whether it's the governor's election or even the presidential election. And we're also a community that is home to, you know, past historical oppression. You know, just because of our history in our United States, we're home to a majority of Wisconsin's people of color. And so this isn't just a Milwaukee issue. This is a national issue where, you know, cities like ours and states like Wisconsin are often starved of resources because it's easy to beat up on the city. It's easy to sow that division in rural communities, to say that communities like ours are taking handouts. And if we gave them, you know, something, then we're taking it away from you. And that perpetuates, you know, again, this oppression and these oppressive policies that are passed when you have, you know, majority conservative or Republican legislatures, like the state of Wisconsin. They're talking points that help them win elections. And then you have voter disenfranchisement. So you have gerrymandering. Thank God we just flipped our state Supreme Court and now we can work towards fair maps. But, you know, misinformation of voters is also, you know, playing into, you know, what's happening in Milwaukee. And so just being able to break down some of those barriers, those stereotypes about, you know, who we are as Milwaukee, like we need to let people know across the state that actually, no, Milwaukee is not taking away from you. One, we share a lot of the same problems. There are a few people at the top who are taking resources and giving us crumbs to fight over. All of our communities are suffering. And our problem really are with those folks who are playing dirty politics and those folks who are, you know, gaining more wealth while communities like ours are continuing to suffer. And it's just making sure that they know that Milwaukee is actually the economic engine of the state, that if Milwaukee fails, so does the state of Wisconsin. So making sure we're educating people as much as possible about the critical role we play in the state's economy, which is huge, it's very huge. And even our ideas, again, our ideas, we're very innovative and creative and we're resourceful and we're rambunctious. And, you know, a lot of our innovation happens in Milwaukee and it bleeds out into the rest of the state. So it's a long road ahead of us. You know, it's taken hundreds of years for us to get to where we are. But, you know, myself, I know there are other, you know, leaders, young and seasoned, who are willing to come together and work collectively across the state and just, you know, even lend out a hand, because, you know, sometimes we also play into that stereotype that rural communities are bad. And I think as long as we build those bridges and connect with the people who matter, those people who are like us at the bottom, who are also being disenfranchised, I think there's a lot we can accomplish together. We just have to do that, you know, one conversation at a time, one listening session at a time, and, you know, keep putting those policies forward that can bleed out to the rest of the state.
You know, you'd mentioned that with the new Supreme Court, we have new maps that in large part got rid of the severe gerrymander. I mean, didn't get rid of it completely, but it is much improved, so we'll have much fairer elections. How do you see that playing out in terms of its impact on the Wisconsin County Association? How does that allow for more unified actions and not just dealing with the far, far, far right?
Right, right. Well, I think it's gonna level the playing field. It's gonna get us towards a place where we can be more level. Because as you said, this isn't gonna solve the problem. In fact, we won't solve this problem overnight. What I'm already seeing though is this reinvigoration in the political process. This more faith in our democracy, especially where we are, where we have suburban municipalities that held representatives who were, you know, conservative or Republican because of the gerrymandering, but now they have competitive primaries. And now there's an opportunity for folks to weigh in and cast their vote, and that vote actually matter, as opposed to before where, you know, they would show up and vote, and no matter what, that Republican will get into office. You know, now in terms of unifying, we're on the heels of an election, November 4th, and, you know, it won't be the unity message. In fact, you're going to hear, you know, a different opinion from both sides. And obviously, each party has their, you know, what they feel should be done with maps. But what I know is that I believe in a multiracial democracy. I don't believe in gerrymandering. I believe that every vote should matter. And I think those votes will speak for themselves. And I'm looking forward to, you know, Democrats winning across the state and creating a more level state legislature, which will allow us to get some good work done for communities like Milwaukee.
So, you know, you're out across the state and working with a lot of young people. How do you see the youth, and particularly young women, how do you see them participating in this election coming up? Are they going to be out leading the way? I mean, you know, in large part. Right. They led the way, you know, for the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Do you see them leading the way again?
I do. I mean, women are stepping up far and wide and at a level I've never seen. I'm 35. I'm going on 36. I maybe haven't been around that long, but I haven't seen it in my lifetime as much as I've seen recently. In fact, I do have to plug the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, where 18 members is now majority women. We now have 10 women to 8 men with our last election cycle in April. So you have women who are more willing to step up, and that's because so many barriers have been, you know, broken down, and women have more rights, and we're going to continue to fight for those rights. Because there are people who are like actively fighting to take them away from us and take us back to, you know, 1849. So I think that is propelling women to step up. Our young women also are, you know, more vocal, they're more strong, they're more empowered than they ever were. And they're leading the way. And, you know, let's not forget women of color have been on the front lines with the civil rights movement, with the suffragette movement, and we're going to continue to with the 2024 movement. So folks, I'm excited about what women are doing.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Thank you so much, Chairwoman Marcellia Nicholson, for your insight, your leadership, and your hope for the future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Chad Daybell sentenced to death today for killing his first wife and two of his second wife's children. In Boise, Idaho, Fremont County Prosecutor Lindsay Blake telling reporters she can't imagine the family's pain.
This case has been about speaking for and seeking justice for the lives of three wonderful humans whose lives were cut way too short by the selfish desires of the defendant and his co-defendant, Lori Vallow.
Vallow is serving life in prison without parole for the murders, including two of her children. The launch of Boeing's manned Starliner spacecraft that was scheduled this afternoon was scrubbed. A computer system issue tripped a hold, which would have pushed liftoff time later than its window. They'll try again tomorrow. An Israeli government official says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was not informed that President Biden Friday would be making a proposal about a permanent end to fighting in Gaza, and that Israel will not agree unless its conditions are met. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Brewers with a huge comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The final score of the Brewers 12-5 over the White Sox. Milwaukee with 23 hits, led by Christian Yelich, who went 5-6 with 5 runs batted in, scoring 1 run himself. The White Sox, the worst team in baseball, were leading 3-1 in the 4th inning. Pat Murphy said it reminded him of losing a series to another struggling team, the Marlins, a couple of weeks ago.
You remember Miami. You remember that same thing. We had a bunch of guys in position to score, and we didn't execute, and we didn't do what we had to do. But, you know, again, that's not the easiest thing in the world, you know, so it's part of baseball. You know, a lot of guys, Frelick had an unbelievable night offensively, Perkins, you know, Ortiz, those guys had great nights, along with the obvious with Yelich and Contreras and Terang.
Football, the NFL team featured in this summer's HBO's Hard Knocks will be the Chicago Bears and first-round pick quarterback Caleb Williams. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 70 degrees, a bit breezy. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low around 48. Chance of a shower on your Sunday, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 78. Showers and storms are likely Sunday night. It will be windy. Monday, more showers and storms.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share a practical hack that I use to manage my spending. It's my wish list. A wish list is just a note I keep in my phone where I write down all the things I want to buy, but I don't have a plan or a budget to buy. You know, like stuff I see randomly on Instagram or TikTok, or these new shoes that my BFF just got that I am totally obsessed about. My wish list is two things. First, it gives me a place to put that feeling of want instead of just pulling out my credit card. And second, it gives me time to decide if I really want it. And then, if I can afford it. I revisit my wish list once a week or so. I take a look at every single thing on there, and then I pick if I want to find the budget for that thing or if I'm going to, you know, let it go. And I will tell you that mostly I end up letting things go. So if you're looking to cut back on spending, try making a wish list. This is Carrie Joy, and that has been your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
There's an article that's going to come out Monday about John and Gordy on channel3000.com.
And it better be good.
We'll have our review of Doug's review Monday.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am so honored and privileged to have Sarah Harrison back. She is a candidate for the Assembly District 15, a new district with the new maps, with a message for the future and keeping Wisconsin moving forward. Thank you so much to have you back, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So what's the new District 15? What's it look like?
So District 15 still has town of Brookfield, has about 50% of the city of Brookfield, and now we have Pewaukee. So that's different for me. Very exciting. Have been out there multiple times. Love hanging out at the little wine shop on the beach. Please, I go there any day. And then we also have three Waukesha awards. So just for fun, we spiced in a little bit of Waukesha. And yeah, that's the new District 15. So that's me.
So, you know, I just took a minute here, jumped on your webpage, says building a bright future. So
yeah.
How does Sarah Harrison, if she's elected, build a bright new future? What are the issues? What's driving this campaign?
Absolutely. So there's a couple things that I think are really important here. And the first is that my main priority is to listen and then lead. So I want to talk to people and hear what they're saying and what's important to them. And that's what the leaders are supposed to do. That's a servant leader. That's someone who is out there doing what their people want. So the main things that I'm hearing about as I'm out there knocking all the doors is number one, returning our reproductive healthcare decisions to patients rather than politicians. Number two is lowering costs for our Wisconsin families, and that largely comes in play in terms of what the state legislature can help with when we talk about childcare and healthcare costs. And then the third, and some might think the most important, but probably the least sexy of the three, is returning more of the shared revenue to our local governments so they can fund those emergency services without having to raise property taxes, without having to pass a referendum, any of those kind of things. If you want to talk about, you know, really supporting our local governments, that's where you can help the most, is by giving more of that money back from the state to the local municipalities.
So as you're going around this new district, and let's sort of break it down, let's spend some time on reproductive freedom.
Sure.
And women's right, women's choice. Yeah, in large part, that issue and young women across the state were the moving force behind the new Supreme Court in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Justice Janet Protasiewicz won by 11 points, unheard of statewide.
Right.
But that's this issue. So is it still hot? Is it on everybody's mind?
Yeah, it's still very important to folks. So we still have on the books a law from 1849, and there's been talk about whether can stick or not stick in certain situations. However, as long as that bill is still out there, as long as that law is on the books, we're only as protected as our most recent appeal, right? So there have been some actions happening in Dane County where, hey, it looks like this is not what was intended, but we also know that that's being challenged. And so we still have that law in place, and we really need to legally protect our right to reproductive health care decisions. It needs to be codified. It needs to be put into law so that those decisions can be made by patients and not by politicians.
A law from 1849. I mean, think of the absurdity, right? Women couldn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
The world has completely changed. Medicine has changed. I mean, everything has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that that still is there and there's even a debate to me is mind-numbing. So as you go around, what do you hear from voters, young voters? What do you hear from women? And frankly, what do you hear from health professionals?
Yeah, absolutely. So I hear a lot of women who are saying, I don't want my kids to grow up in a world where they have less choice and less freedom than I had growing up. And medical professionals are telling me, even when it's something that we could potentially decide as a medical decision, a lot of times the folks who are being brought in to make that decision are not the medical folks, the legal folks saying, how much risk do we have here? So that's kind of scary to me. And we've seen in other states that this has been expanded. We've seen Alabama defining frozen embryos as children. We've seen Florida putting in place a 6-week abortion ban. And even like birth control is even being vilified and seen as this evil thing. And that is not the world that I grew up in. And that's not the world I want my kids to grow up in.
The new District 15,
mm-hmm.
How do you see the voting patterns impact your ability to win the day on those issues?
Yeah. So it is definitely a purple district and not a blue district per se. But I will say, I mean, Mark, you know me. I'm a data nerd. I love Excel. I love spreadsheets. And we've looked at the trend lines, right? And it's getting more and more blue every election. And when we see something, I mean, we call a Wisconsin landslide when someone wins by 3%, right? When we see something like Janet Protasiewicz come along and really move the needle on that, I think that there is a new movement and a new, hope for Waukesha County, and we're here to help move it along.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Sarah Harrison, the candidate for the new District 15, talking about the people's priorities. How do you keep the state moving forward? And this issue of reproductive health rights, it's also tied to the second issue that you really talk about in terms of lowering healthcare costs and childcare costs. Mm-hmm. How do you see those related, and how do they, how does it play out on the street?
Yeah. So I went and I looked at the statistics. I'm a number girl, and this was staggering to me. So the average two-income Wisconsin household with children under six is spending 17% of their income. That's a two-income household. And they're spending 17% on childcare for one child. To me, that's just insane. That's really crazy. And a lot of folks don't have a two-income household. And the more that we make it feasible for folks to have that additional income, the more it helps our economy. So there's a knock-on effect. Not only does it help families, but it also helps our Wisconsin economy to allow more people to be in the workplace. So there's a program out there called Child Care Counts, and this is something that provides financial support for child care supporters, and it allows them to continue to offer services in a challenging economic environment. However, that program faces budget cuts, and Tony Evers has given some emergency funding, but the GOP, including my opponent in District 15, has voted against extending this, and we're already at a critical place for childcare, and if we don't allow for these types of support that we're already giving, we're going to have fewer people in the workforce, and we're going to continue to see our economy impacted on both sides.
You mentioned that Governor Evers really worked hard in this last budget round to get money out for child care help. Mm-hmm. And as you noted, that the far right gerrymandered Republican Assembly and Senate, killed it.
Yep.
As you look around the state with the new maps, do you see a chance at breaking through this kind of logjam that is just sitting here and hurting people?
I do. I really do, especially when you look statewide, because there are so many districts that are competitive that historically have not been competitive. And so there's a higher accountability, because the GOP representatives and senators cannot assume that they will always be reelected. as an example, my opponent, Representative Adam Nalen, has been in the assembly since 2013, and he's only had two opponents in that time. And one of them was in a Republican primary. So only one time has this guy actually been challenged by a Democrat. And we're ready to bring more challenges out there. I know that every Senate seat that's up for re-election this year, we have a Democrat in that race. And that's very exciting. That has historically not been the case. I think we're ready to see some big changes similar to what we saw in Michigan a couple of years back.
Yeah, your opponent is anti-choice. He co-authored a 14-week abortion ban. As you go around the district and you're talking about child care costs and you're talking about health care costs and you're talking about women's right to control their body and their medical decisions,
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing a breakthrough? Do you see a chance on these issues?
Yeah, there's a chance. It is not an easy fight. This is not a district that is a gimme by any means. But it's also not as much of a gimme as it used to be for the other side as well. And so we're out there fighting the fight and making sure that people know they have a choice this time.
Now, I want to just spend some time here with Sarah Harrison running for the new 15th Assembly District seat.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about shared revenue and how it's very, very important, but it sounded like a lot of people that you talk to don't really understand it or...
Yeah.
So how do you see it? And I mean, what is it and why is it so important?
Yeah. It's amazing to me. This is the one issue that people really think they're aligned with the Republican Party on, because the Republican Party has this longstanding reputation for supporting local government, right? And so, of course, you know, these guys are the ones who are going to put the money back into local government. Well, absolutely not. If you look back over the past decade, the amount of shared revenue has dwindled and dwindled, especially when you take into account inflation, which of course impacts how much it costs for our municipalities, our counties, all of those things to pay for things. So if you take into account inflation, we've seen stagnant numbers for the last three decades. And even with the 2023 adjustment, because I know there's folks out there and the first thing they're going to say is, oh, no, last year they changed it. Even with that number, we're still lagging far behind inflation. And that puts our local governments in a situation where they either have to cut services or they have to raise funds in another way, which typically means either property taxes or putting a referendum in place. And we're sitting on a $7 million surplus plus...
I think you meant $7 billion.
You're right. I did mean billion.
Yeah. I was going to say, take it times.
I needed more zeros. Sorry about that. Yeah, we're sitting on a $7 billion surplus plus a record high rainy day fund at nearly $1.8 billion. So, you know, who's helping those local governments? It's certainly not the GOP, and we're ready to help.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Sarah Harrison, who is running for the new Fair Maps 15th District, Building a Bright Future, and talking about how shared revenue is really misconceived and how it's just fundamentally unfair.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote, because you don't want to go back to 1950, where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Sarah Harrison. She is the Democratic Party candidate for the new 15th Assembly District. And the first election's coming up in November for her. Maybe get it fair maps. Maybe we have a chance to keep Wisconsin moving forward. We're talking about shared revenue. What is shared revenue?
Yeah, so shared revenue means that the state collects taxes and then they allocate money back out to local governments. So whether that's a city, a town, village, county, and that money is used to support essential services. So we're talking about police, firefighters, road maintenance, public health, public schools, all of those kind of things are supported by that shared revenue. From the state back out to the municipalities.
So what is unfair or what has been unfair with how this gerrymandered, you know, far right Republican Assembly Senate, you know, what's been unfair with that? Right? We got $7 billion and, you know, out there available, but we can't get it to the people.
Right. So first of all, they haven't kept up with inflation. So they haven't continued to grow that number at a rate that is reasonable for the municipalities and the local governments to fund what they need to fund. And also we've seen recently things where legislators are putting conditions on the funding saying, well, okay, Milwaukee, for example, you can have this money, but you got to do X, Y, and Z. Well, that's not really giving them the money to do with as they see is the best service.
It's certainly not local control.
Absolutely not. Yep. So they're sort of keeping a finger on it as they hand it back to those municipalities.
So how's that played out? I know that you've been very active and a supporter of public education and really promoting the interests of our young people, our future. How do you see that shared revenue issue squeezing education in schools?
So one thing that is interesting about shared revenue is that if you talk to folks who are a bit more local, so people who are in city government, people who are in the school systems, regardless of their political stripes, they're all saying, help, we need more money. And there was a co-authored article a couple of years back that was Steve Ponto and Mayor Rhodes from Madison, who typically wouldn't necessarily align politically, but they're both saying, hey, help, we need more money. And 2023 did not fix that. That was not enough to get us fixed there. So we're seeing that folks are having to either raise the taxes, put a referendum in place, or start cutting back services. And there's only so much you can cut back. There's only so many times you can delay road maintenance or that you can cut back on our emergency services like police, firefighters, et cetera, before we start to have some public danger coming in and creeping in because we're not funding it properly.
So where's your opponent been on this shared revenue and its unfair, I mean, essentially not getting out to the people?
Sure. Well, I mean, as is relatively typical, he's voting along the party lines. So we're not seeing him out there standing up and asking for this to be done differently because that's not what the party has been doing historically. And I'm really hopeful that these new fair maps will make people have to be more accountable to their constituents and to their local elected officials because they are not going to have those kind of wide margins that they had in the past.
Do you get any sense as you go, you know, from Pewaukee to Brookfield, to Waukesha? It's, you know, it's a big stretch of community. are people talking about shared revenue or?
Not a lot. And what's really funny is that it's come up on doors only a few times. And in those times, people have really had the mindset that the party roles are swamped. They're really thinking, well, I got to vote Republican because they're going to help support my local government. And that's, they've had, you know, 10 plus years to support the local government. And they haven't done it. So I think the more informed that folks can be on this issue, the better it'll be for anyone trying to make a change.
So just to sort of the nuts and bolts of the Sarah Harrison campaign, right?
Yeah.
What are you planning? What are you doing to help get out the vote, get these issues out there? You know, how do you see getting young people involved?
Yeah. So I am really lucky in that I have a couple of college kids that are going to be very involved with my campaign over the summer. I have two interns, so I'm very excited to bring their perspective in. And we're really looking at a couple of things. One is that I am always a person who believes heavily in doors. I think seeing someone face to face makes a world of difference. And if I could go knock on every single person's door, I definitely would. Unfortunately, I don't think that's possible. But I will say we are going to be out all the time. We have been out every weekend. I don't even know, at least for the last couple of months. And we're going to continue to be out in the community on a regular basis. The other thing I will say is we're trying to not only invite people to our events, but if you go out to my website, which is SARAHFORWI.com.
Do it again. Say it again.
SARAHFORWI.com. So sarah4wi.com, you'll see that there is an invitation link there where it says, invite me to your event. Invite me to your community event. I want to go to, you know, your festival or your church event, whatever it may be. I want to meet you where you're gathering, and I want to meet all of the folks who are involved in your circle, because that's really what I'm trying to do, is to understand the community so I can best represent it.
The sounds pretty exciting. How's it working?
Well, we've had a few invites, which is exciting. I will say, my bad. I just remembered to actually add it to our weekly email blast. So, you know, we're still getting ramped up.
This is the Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is Sarah Harrison. I'm going to give you the last 10 seconds.
All right.
Your opponent has been out there opposed to birth control. What's up?
Yeah. So I just want the voters in Assembly District 15 to know this year they have a choice. They can choose to reclaim their reproductive rights by choosing to support my team.
Thank you, Sarah Harrison. We'll have you back later. That's all, folks.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll tell you whether or not Trump is fleeing prosecution to a extraditionalist country. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A day after President Biden offered a proposal about a permanent end to the fighting in Gaza, an Israeli government official says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was not informed about it ahead of time. And Netanyahu's saying that Israel will not agree unless its conditions are met.
This is today, another weekly protest against Netanyahu and his government, calling for new elections and for the release of the hostages that Hamas is holding. Boeing Starliner spacecraft was supposed to be by now on its way to the International Space Station. Instead, still sitting on the launch pad. Today's blastoff scrub, computer problems on the ground. They're going to try again tomorrow. Idaho doomsday cult leader Chad Daybell sentenced to death today for killing his first wife and two of his second wife's children. His co-defendant Lori Vallow is serving life in prison without parole for the murders, including two of her children. This is ABC News. The Texas Supreme Court unanimously rejecting a challenge to the state's near total abortion ban. The ruling in response to a lawsuit by two doctors and 20 women who say they were denied abortions despite danger.